This is the weekend edition of the Texas Tribune Brief Podcast. In this episode, the Tribune's Emma Platoff talks with the niece of a Fort Worth man who died in police custody. This episode contains audio that may be upsetting to some listeners.
Hand up and walk.
Get over me. I'm just sick.
Nobody's hurting you.
Stand up.
Wait.
You fall again, I'm just going to let you fall.
I can't breathe.
Yeah, you can.
Wait.
Don't pull that.
If you have all this energy to fight and hit the windows, you can walk.
One night in July 2018, Fort Worth police responded to a call about an alleged prowler on Griggs Avenue to find 55-year-old Christopher Lowe banging a pipe. As the small man struggled to stand and then struggled to breathe, the officers dragged him into the back of a squad car and ignored his pleas for medical help. The officers did not immediately call an ambulance and decided they would not tell medical personnel that they believed he was on drugs, so they could avoid having to serve a guard detail at the hospital, according to police documents. Lowe was found unresponsive in the back of the car 13 minutes later. His death was ruled an accident caused by drug use. Tiffany Bunton, Lowe's niece, is a proud Fort Worth police officer and the leader in the union. As the country reels from the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Bunton has been left wondering why there was no national movement when her uncle said, "I can't breathe." But she's hopeful that police departments like hers will grow from this moment. Could you just tell us a little bit more about what your uncle was like?
He was quite comical, hilarious. He could come up with stuff just at the drop of a dime to have you laughing. He used to play the bass guitar for Rick James for a period of time back in the day. And he was great on the computer. He was like a computer genius. And he, you know, was an Army veteran as well. He was just a great guy.
Where were you when you learned what had happened to him?
I was at home that night. You know, I got a phone call saying, "Hey, I think something happened to your uncle. And is your uncle Christopher Lowe?" And I was like, "Yes." And they were like, "Well, I don't know what happened, but I think something might have happened and you might want to get to the hospital." So I get to the hospital and sure enough, it was my uncle.
When you spoke with the leaders of your department, did you feel like they were taking this seriously enough?
I do, yes. I think they were very sincere in their apologies on how the officers handled the situation. You know, I broke down in front of them and cried my eyes out, and you could tell that they were torn up because I was torn up. You know, it was such a sad situation. So I definitely feel that both of them were very sincere.
Was it difficult to keep working at the police department? Did you ever consider leaving?
I'm not going to lie. It was like whenever I would think about it, I was very angry on the inside, you know, like enraged with anger, because, you know, I just felt like, how could somebody that wears my uniform treat somebody this way? I took it personal, I think, in two different aspects. You know, one, because that's my family, you know, and his life mattered to me and my family. And then the other side of it is I took it personal because those officers, in my opinion, made our whole department look bad.
Seven police officers were there the night your uncle died. Five were fired, but some have gotten their jobs back. Does that feel like justice?
Yes, I think they did the right thing by firing those officers. I mean, those officers obviously displayed, you know, poor decision-making skills. And, you know, they conspired to lie on hospital documents. But the Civil Service Commission, you know, gave them their jobs back. So that's where the slap in the face comes from. It's been very difficult to process.
What has it been like for you to watch the country react to the killing of George Floyd over the last few weeks?
You know, I'm not going to lie. It's been completely shocking to me how much the country as a whole has been affected or is reacting to it. It's been difficult to watch as well, because I just, it brings up, you know, my own personal emotions. I haven't even been able to watch the full video of Mr. Floyd, because it's just too much, you know.
When we look across the country at dozens of police killings and deaths in custody over the last few years, does this feel like a problem that can be solved internally?
It can definitely be improved internally. You know, officers exhibit red flags in some form or another, whether their coworkers see it, their, you know, their academy trainers see it, whether their supervisors see it, somebody sees it. It's, so I just think we have to look out for each other, you know, in more ways than one. Because, you know, if we look out for each other, then that means we're looking out for the citizens as well. You know, it goes both ways.
Are you hopeful about what this moment of reckoning could mean for policing in this country going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if we can make any positive changes, it'll make, you know, things easier for the community, to make things safer for the community. Little black boys won't have to fear when they see a patrol car drive by, you know, or when they are addressed or talked to by a person in a uniform. And then it makes it safer for the officers as well, you know. So definitely, if we can make some improvements in policing, in our training, in the way we handle situations, yeah, definitely. It's a win-win for everybody.
Have you ever felt conflict about your job? Have you ever felt like you needed to choose between your family and your career?
You know, not only was my family directly affected by the hands of police officers, you know, by losing my uncle, I'm also, you know, the second vice president of the Fort Worth Police Officers Association, and I'm an officer. So it's the dynamic is very hard, and nobody seems to understand it. And quite honestly, I don't even know if I understand it, but it's very difficult to handle all three sides of it. But I think I've done a pretty good job so far, and I have gotten messages and compliments on how I've been handling everything. But, you know, that doesn't mean that I don't cry in the background or I'm not frustrated, you know, because of something. So I'm just doing my best.
Thank you for listening to the weekend edition of the Texas Tribune Brief Podcast. Join me on The Brief weekdays to get the latest news in Texas politics and policy from the Texas Tribune. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.